God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series, and tonight you might think, hey, we get off easy. God's stewards are loved and loving. Who doesn't want to be loved? I will admit that should probably be an instinct within each and every one of us. We all desire to receive, to get. But how many of us actually desire to give, desire to love? As we start approaching Christmas time, we may hear the phrase, it's better to give than to receive. Do you truly believe this? Or is your sinful nature kind of strong like mine that kind of says, I don't know, I'd rather get? True example happened to me. I was taking a class at Waubonsie Junior College just for the fun of it a few summers ago. It was Introduction to Massage Therapy, and the students had to be sort of paired together, and we had to practice giving massages to one another. And the instructor said, you had to make a choice here. Do you want to be the first one to give, or do you want to be the first one to receive? So if you were given that choice, which one would you pick? Well, it was kind of interesting. The class eventually did complete itself, and we had to learn. You had to give, and you had to receive. Well, today we're actually going to talk about love. We have to remember that, as Scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. This is the wonderful gospel that we have a God who actually loves us. He actually cares for us. And as a result, you are loved. Now, here's our problem with this. Can there ever be a problem with being loved by God? And the answer is yes. You see, our human nature is so strong that even that simple concept of us being loved by God can even be placed into doubt. And you may be saying, okay, Pastor, how can this be placed into doubt? Well, let me just ask you this. How well do you feel you are loved by God? You see, too often, if we allow our sinful nature to sort of take its logical course, as soon as we start seeing that someone else is more blessed than I am, we may not feel as loved as the other person. Notice what transition has just taken place. We first talk about this relationship between God and us, as God loving us, him sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and then immediately our human mind wants to rationalize it and say, what's in it for me? If things are not going my way, if my health is going down the tube, if bad things are happening to me, one of the first things I want to start questioning, my sinful nature kicks in and says, God, do you truly, really, really love me? And in case if you ever have any doubt, or if that part of your sinful nature just sort of kicks in and says, does God really love me? If God really loves me, why am I going through all this? If those words have ever crossed your mind or even out of your lips, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. In there you will see God's love for you. Our sinful nature needs to see that. Because very often we start comparing the blessings we have with the blessings that someone else has, and we start saying, Lord, this is a little unbalanced here. You must love them more because you're giving them more. For those of you who weren't only children as you were growing up, didn't you ever say that to your parents? I was an only child, so I'm off the hook on this one. That you love so-and-so more because they get more gifts than I do. That's not what love is all about. You know that now, don't you? So it is also with Christ. You want to know what it means to be loved? Look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Look to that crucifix. Look to Jesus hanging there, dying on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, to give you eternal life. Plain and simple, this is a gift from God for you because He loves you. Our sinful nature likes to kick in and says, yeah, but the new car would be nice. Well, yeah, it would be nice, whether you get it or not, or whatever else is on your mind. Is that more important than the eternal life? Than the forgiveness of sins? Than being in a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of His death and resurrection? I hope and pray not. That it's just the weakness of our sinful nature getting the best of us that basically says, I'd rather be attached to the things of this world than the things of God. So it's not easy just getting past that first concept. We are loved. Do you believe that? Is your faith based on that? Do you trust that, yes, you really are loved by God? Yes, as Scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Do you truly believe that He first loved you? Because now the other part of that Bible passage kicks in. Our response to that, as God's stewards are loved and loving, we love because He first loved us. If we have a hard time with the first part of that, of being loved, we're going to have even a harder time with being loving. This is not an easy Bible passage from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It's simple. We love because He loved us, first loved us. It's simple to say. It's tough to realize. How easy is it for us to truly love one another? Martin Luther says, a Christian loves his neighbor as a brother. He makes no difference between persons or things. He does not consider whether he is serviceable or not, whether he is wise or unwise. As for the rest, the world loves differently. The common people judge friendships by their usefulness. So with the deaf, the weak, the unlearned, the ungrateful, no one desires to associate. But God loved all, even His enemies, without making any difference. Therefore, we too should love as brothers, even those who are not lovable. That's the real challenge. It's easy to be lovable to those who are nice to you. It's easy to be lovable to those who are kind and generous to you. Is it easy to be lovable to those who are mean and cruel to you? The answer is no. It's very, very challenging. Just try driving in rush hour traffic and someone cuts you off. Can you truly say to them, I hope and pray you have a blessed day? Without any sarcastic remarks to it or interesting hand gestures. What about those people at work who are trying to do you in so that they can look better? What about those neighbors down the street who just don't seem to keep up their property very well and seem to be dragging down the value of everyone else's property? What about when our nation enters into a conflict with another nation? Can our hearts still go out to them in Christian love? God doesn't tell us to be choosy about whom we're supposed to be loving. God asks us to be loving to all people. But then some people may try to weasel out of this by basically saying, okay, look, Pastor, hold on a second. Because of my sinful nature, I can't do all this, and that's why there's forgiveness, right? Well, yes, there is forgiveness, but let's not excuse what God wants. God wants us to understand what it means to be loved by Him and wants us also to be loving to one another. Good works are necessary. Now, some of you may be saying, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought you always said that good works are not necessary for salvation. That they don't get us to heaven above. You're right. We are saved by God's grace through faith. And this is not from you. It is a gift from God. So that no one will boast. Amen to that. But as a response of that, of being in this relationship, being connected to God who is love, if there's one word to describe God, it's love. And so as Christians, if we are connected to Christ, the source of all love, shouldn't some of that love be flowing to us and through us to other people? The answer is yes. Even in our Book of Concord, in the Augsburg Confession, actually I think it's in the Apology, it says, in fact, it is impossible to separate faith from love for God, be it ever so small. So faith is trusting in God, yes. And you can't separate that from the love of God, yes. And God loves all people, all nations, friends, enemies, good people, bad. God has love for them also. You see, when Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, he not only dies for the forgiveness of your sins, but even for all those, quote, evil people. God dies for them. God loves them. God wants us to be loving to them. Are good works then a necessary part of our Christian faith? The answer is yes. If we are connected to Christ, we should be flowing with the same love that Christ is flowing for us. So as Christ so lovingly cares for each and every one of us, we also should be lovingly caring for other people. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. He says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So Paul basically here is saying, just let one debt, one thing to continue to drive you in your daily life. That you have a debt to every single person around you to love them. And you need to pay that debt and continue to love them no matter what they have done. Why? Because Christ has loved and forgiven you no matter what you have done. See, that's what love is all about. Too often in our world, we sometimes have different definitions of love. But God's love for us is very plain and clear and simple. Take a look at Jesus' death and resurrection from the cross. We see what it means to be loved by him. He's willing to die for all people. What did he say to those who were crucifying him when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Can you say with similar words to those who hurt you? Think in the back of your mind for right now, who would you perceive to be your worst enemy? The one person who would just drive you nuts. The one person you just can't stand to be around. And now, can you with the same Christian heart say, I really wish that person to be with me in heaven above? If you're having a problem with this, we need to go back to what it means to be loved by God. You see, as we come seeking forgiveness and being forgiven, this includes the many times that we've also failed to love. Because have we kept this perfectly? The answer is no. But fortunately for us, we do trust in a very loving God who gives of himself even though we don't deserve it, because that is his nature. His nature is love. Our nature is to be selfish. He gives of himself ultimately through that act of love, through his death on the cross, to forgive us our many moments when we fail to love. He gives of himself again with his own true body and blood, as we'll partake in a few moments with that bread and wine, to assure you of the forgiveness of sins and to strengthen you with his love. Yes. as we come and take that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ? Is there not a change within us? Are we, is not our soul strengthened by Christ himself to then be loving toward one another? Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 12 through 17, as he's speaking to his disciples, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his father's, what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command to you so that you will love one another." Now, is Jesus being really unfair here by commanding his disciples to love one another? The answer is no. Because as they continue to practice that love and demonstrate that love during good times and during challenging times, as they are loving one another, they are still being reconnected to the source of that love, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a good thing. And this is what Christ wants us to do. So as we love others, including the undesirables, we are reconnecting ourselves back to Christ. And this is a good thing. Now, some of you may be saying, okay, how do we even connect this at all to stewardship? Well, how does God show his love for us? By giving of himself. Now you got to that giving word. You see, as we connect this with stewardship, we realize that, yes, we love, and we're supposed to give all, even to our enemies. You see, God is love, and he loves all people, even his enemies. Even those people who are kicking and rebelling against him, he still loves. And so this should change our minds a little bit when we talk about giving. You know, very often we start thinking about money. No. How much money did we get from the cross? We got something more important than money. We got the forgiveness of sins. We got a relationship. We got Christ himself. You know, if Christ gave everyone the winning lottery numbers, is that going to save your soul? The answer is no. So we need to change our mindset here. As Christians, the challenge is for us to think about giving, not that we give to a particular need, but out of love, we actually need to give. Wait a minute. We need to give? The answer is yes. As we give of ourselves and we love one another, it reconnects us back to Christ. So we don't want to think about giving as, oh, this is something I have to do. No, we think about giving as reconnecting us back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, reaffirming his love and the forgiveness of sins we have. This should be a joy for us to give. But our sinful nature kicks in and says, ooh, I'd rather not give, I'd rather just keep. And that's the struggle we face. Needless to say, here at Trinity, we really don't need quote-unquote, bingo nights to raise money. Okay? Some of you may say, hey, that's not a bad idea. Bingo nights, yeah, let's have some fun. Or how about this one? Because I even heard this one as a suggestion on helping to improve the bottom line of our treasurer's report. What about a 50-50 raffle for the offering plates? What do you think? No, that's still the wrong emphasis. As Christians, we give because it reconnects us back to Christ. It's not just talking about money. It's talking about our time, talking about our talents. It's talking about your love for your neighbors. Even those people who are rude to you, those people who are cruel to you, can you find it in your hearts to love them as Christ has loved you? Because as Christians, we know that we need to give to reflect God's love. As we are connected to Christ, this will flow from us naturally. So if it's not flowing from us, we need to ask, where's the hang-up? Where's the problem within us? So we need to grow in our giving, giving of ourselves and our loving. And the more we grow, the more we will love. And the more in tune we are with Christ, who loves all people, even you. Even us poor, miserable sinners, Christ died for you. Thanks be to God. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.